noticed around the church that there are some random fruit and vegetables, produce, especially if you weren't here last week, that might not make a whole lot of sense, but I'm actually going to use that this morning. Actually, I might just pray first. Lord, we just thank you for the service this morning and for each and every person that's here today. Father, I just pray that you would just speak to each one of us this morning, that you would remind us of our value and worth and the part that we have to play in this place. We thank you that you are a good God, that you are a God of abundance, and that you just provide us with each and everything that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share this morning about something that I was watering my garden one day and just musing about church and why we do church and what church is all about, and I kind of had this picture, I suppose, as I often do, and I just wanted to share it with you this morning, and I hope that it blesses you, and I hope that it really encourages you. I want this morning to be something which, yeah, it's just a real encouragement about what church looks like for you personally, and the part that you have to play in it, the significance and the value that you have being in this place and being amongst each other. So I've got a few verses that I'm just going to use different verses throughout. So I've got Corey to put most of them up here. I might come over to the side. So let's just start with Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is, so just listen along, when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Whoa, it's like dew and oil and all sorts going on. This verse is about unity. You know, how good and pleasant when God's people live together in unity. Thinking about this idea of unity, and maybe you don't think of it this way, but sometimes I feel like we kind of tend to see it as unity is like the absence of disunity. So if there's no discord, if there's no fighting, quarrelling, if there's peace, then there's unity. But I want to suggest that unity is more than just the absence of disunity. It's this idea of combining individual parts into one whole. And so it's actually active, and it's contribution, and it's involvement. So it's not just that the absence of disunity, but it's being actively bringing your part to a greater whole. And you know, when we become a believer, you know, the Bible talks about us becoming part of a greater whole. And that's the church. The church being the body of believers. So when we go from just sort of living our life, we become a believer, and in some spiritual way, we've entered into this greater whole, and that is the church. And so this morning, I want to talk about being part of that greater whole. And I also want to talk about Sunday. I want to talk about church as we know it on a Sunday morning. The church broadly, what is it? It's basically the community in which God desires to equip, grow, and strengthen one another. That's why we become part of this greater whole, so that we can become equipped, grow, and strengthened. And so it's about gathering together to do that. You know, the New Testament emphasizes gathering as believers. It emphasizes that a lot, talks a lot about actually getting together. Because that when we know that when we actually get together, we have the opportunity to invest into one another's lives, to equip and to grow. And it's in these gatherings, when we come together, physically come together, that God speaks to and he speaks through his people. And Ephesians chapter 3, 10 to 11, it says that God's purpose in all this was to use the church to use believers, to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So the purpose of the church is to display God's wisdom in its rich variety to the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I don't know about you, but to me, the impact of that is huge. The impact is huge, and the picture is broad. God's wisdom in its rich variety. As individuals, what's our purpose, our goal, our walk? To put it really, really simply, it's to know and make Christ known in the earth. In its most basic form, as believers, that's what we desire to do. And when we do that, we become vessels of truth and love. We become people who dispense justice and grace and mercy amongst the earth. So if that's our individual goal, to know and make Christ known in the earth, what better way than to do that in partnership and alongside like-minded people? You know, so much of what we believe, so much of what Jesus represents is so different to what we find in the world. And so we rely on the strength and in the encouragement of one another to walk forward together. We've been given the word of truth. We've been given the Bible. And we've been given the Holy Spirit to help us navigate this journey of faith. And we've also been given God's blessing of community. And I say that because it is a blessing and it is a gift from God. So the purpose of the church is to equip and grow and strengthen one another. And the other thing about community, and I really believe this, that it's not a luxury, but a necessity. You know, if we go right back to Genesis chapter 2, we find God creating the earth. And he's created Adam. And what does he say to Adam, or about Adam? He says, it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper. And here in the Bible, we find the very first example of community, of this need for one another. And whether you consider that a representation of the marriage relationship, whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is, it's community. It's not good for us to be alone. It's not good for us to do life alone. So it's not just for our enjoyment, and I say just, because we do enjoy it. Community is enjoyable, but it's not just for enjoyment. It's also for purpose and productivity. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25, it talks about, firstly, our personal faith. It talks about how Jesus came, talks about him dying on the cross, giving us free and fresh access, as the Passion Translation puts it, to God. So it talks about us receiving faith in Jesus first. And then from 23, verse 23 onwards, it says this. So now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us. Cling tightly to the hope, knowing that God always keeps his promises. And then he says this, discover greater ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. You know, is that still different?
Oh,
beautiful. You know, this verse, it talks about how the personal faith that we have should be entrenched in his gift and design for community. It's actually not separate. It is part, our faith, our walking faith, outworking our faith, is actually combined with community. We need to cling tightly to the hope that lives within us in one breath, and in the next, discover ways to encourage each other, to motivate each other, to urge each other on, because we need each other. And how do we do this? How do we gather to equip? How do we allow God to speak through each other? How do we actively engage in this community? You know, when we read in the Bible, the first century church, they met together daily, prayed, read the word, engaged in fellowship, hung out, ate. And they also shared things that they had in order to meet the needs of other people. And in Colossians 3, you know, we read that the church is being urged to come together clothed in love, to teach and counsel one another with Christ's wisdom. You know, this idea that they have within them Jesus, and then that would overflow in how they teach and counsel one another. And so this real emphasis on deliberate and mutual giving and receiving. And unlike the early church, we don't meet daily. But we meet on Sundays, and we have things like connect groups and Bible studies for women or men, or we have Gen Y, we have youth group. You know, I'm not saying that we need to be the early church. We need to be the 21st century church, because that's the day that we're living in. But do we share this same heart for one another? An emphasis on mutual contribution. You know, when we come on a Sunday morning, are we concerned with how we're running the service more than how we're helping one another to run their race? So this morning I want to give you an illustration, I guess two ways that we can consider church. And this was the picture, I guess, when I was thinking of what that looks like for us. And I want to talk about church being firstly a marketplace, and then church being a produce swap. What would church look like as a marketplace? Think about a marketplace, or I guess a shop. Oh, can I have my basket, please? So as a marketplace, we come as consumers. We take our baskets, our bags, and we walk in with our list of things that we want to purchase, that we need. And we have this kind of demand on the market to supply us with those things. And you walk up and you're like, ah, there's no soy milk left. Or that's not the high fiber white bread that I normally get. Or, you know, my favorite frozen meal is not on special. And when we go to the marketplace, the onus is not on us. It's not really about us at all. It's about the market and what they can supply. You know, we can dash in 5 minutes before it shuts and kind of expect to get what we're after. And you know, our satisfaction from going to a marketplace is whether we tick the things off our list that we're after, whether we got what we were hoping for. You know, when we come to church like it's a marketplace, we put a lot of pressure on the upfront people. So the worship team, the pastor, whoever's the speaking. You know, and the requirement is that they kind of meet our needs. I'm just after something really encouraging this morning. Not too many verses, or not anything too challenging, or, you know, worship. Oh, it wasn't quite what I was hoping for, you know. The people who I love being up the front weren't there, or we kind of put pressure on the people up the front. You know, when we come to church like it's a marketplace, we can come completely unprepared. We can walk in at the last second and still expect to get what we're after. And you know, when we walk out of the door, I guess our satisfaction comes from how we rate the sermon or how enjoyable the worship was. And the problem is, with this kind of attitude, is that it kind of discourages the emphasis on the contribution of everybody. It encourages this passive or this complacent approach when we come. You know, our desire is to fill our baskets rather than filling other people's. Our contribution can become transactional. So this idea that if my expectations are met or if my preference is met, then I'll engage or I'll show my support or I'll serve. And this kind of marketplace thinking, it leads quickly and easily to us being people who assess other people's contributions, who respond with judgment and sometimes even criticism. What about a produce swap? Has anyone been to a produce swap? I think there's some in there. When we go to a produce swap, we come as a contributor, not just a consumer. Do I have my other basket? You know, without people and their contributions, a produce swap quite literally doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. And when you go, there's not an expectation that there will be whatever you want available, because who knows what's going to be available. And instead, there's greater value placed on the individual and a sense of gratitude for what people bring. And see, our satisfaction doesn't come from ticking things off our list, but on the combined sharing and receiving of produce amongst people. At the produce swap, you come not with a list, but an intention. We don't know what we'll find or what will be available, but the intention to give what we have and receive what others have to offer. You know, a produce swap, we don't walk away empty-handed, but we're involved. And we enable others to not walk away empty-handed. You know, church was never meant to be a marketplace. And we need to be careful that we don't make it that way. You know, I love how we involve a huge amount of people in the service, in the rosters, in the organisation of how things work. But we need to be really intentional about doing that. Or we can slip into this place of being passive, particularly if we're not on the roster one week. There is so much value, and we've spoken of it this morning already, this idea of encouraging one another. I don't know how many times in the New Testament that is mentioned. Encourage one another, encourage one another. You know, contribution is not just about jobs. It's not just about rosters. It's having a heart that your contribution is helping others, like I said, not to run a service, but to run their race of faith. That is actually what we're gathering for, to help others run their race of faith well. And you know, because our faith is active, it's not just a belief, it's a belief that transforms our life. It's a belief that changes our actions. It's a belief that changes our priorities. It's a belief that moves us. And because of that, other people can be so, helpful in urging us to do that as we can for other people. Encouragement from others can be the difference between us knowing something and actually doing it. Encouragement from others can make the difference from us being able to actually being willing. It can make the difference between us being simply capable and actually committed. You know, encouragement from others can make the difference between us being hearers of the word and doers of it. And you know, we can't afford to come to the service to just pick the apples off the speaker's tree or to, you know, wring out of the few people what we can. There is so much more to be had. And if we look at this place, place and the produce that we have in the skills, the experiences, the lives, the knowledge that we have in this place. There is so much to be had if we come ready and willing to give of ourselves to other people. You know, the message is never going to be all that everybody needs it to be. Nor is worship going to necessarily float the boat of everybody all the time. You might have different opinions about tithing or preferences about how communion's done. And quite honestly, I think all these things should be expected. We're different people all gathering together. But you know, when our focus is on what together we bring, I think it doesn't matter that much. You know, when you think about your growth, I want you to think for a minute about your spiritual growth and how you've journeyed over time. It's kind of complex, isn't it? You know, unfortunately, it's not just as simple as hearing God's word, just doing it. Wouldn't that be good if it was that easy? It's just not that easy. You know, growth is about nurturing our hearts and minds, our spirit, our faith. It's about battling fear and overcoming doubt. It's about knowing our worth, discovering our skills. It's about walking through adversity, persevering, choosing courage, asking questions, accepting correction. It's about prayer, growing in wisdom, character, love. There's so much to it, isn't there? And this is the stuff that we're supposed to be part of in each other's lives. These things, this growth, it happens in community. We actually can't do it without the contribution and encouragement of others. And while I think the tradition side of church, what I mean by tradition is things like worship, message, communion, I think that's a value, it's not everything. And sometimes it's people and the contributions that they bring that can make more of a difference in your life on a Sunday than can the message or the worship. I know it's like that for me sometimes. You know, Renice, it encourages me to see your joyful, bright face ready to serve every Sunday. You know, Ben, when you're up there singing for the first time in the worship team, that encourages me. Liam, you sharing communion, it encourages me. Don't roll your eyes. You know, Tina and Paula aren't in here. But to see them continue to serve and trust in God despite all their adversity, that encourages me. Mari's not here. It encourages me to witness and hear of the impact that she's had in the lives of the young and old in this church. You know, Shelley, encourage me so much to see you serve so generously and confidently for our Christmas lunch last year. Ronnie, she out as well. You know, encourage me when she made hats for my kids just because. Or to see the young people take my kids under their wing. You know, Delton, it encourages me to see your absolute enthusiasm and growth in God over the years. Helen, it encourages me to receive a text message of encouragement after I speak. You know, young people, it encourages me to be part of their journey in kids' church. You know, all these people, all you people, you grow me because you remind me of what God's doing, who He is, His love and faithfulness to me and my family, His capacity to transform and renew. You take that out, we have worship and a sermon, but I don't grow anywhere near as much without your contribution. And I'm going to suggest it's the same for everyone. You know, this morning, just for 2 seconds, I saw Xavier from the Baptist Church after men's group, and they're running an alpha course for some new Christians in their church at the moment. And he was just saying, it's so encouraging, you know, when they share how they're growing and their faith is changing them. And I just thought, it's so true, isn't it? That can just build your faith to hear of a new Christian waking up in the middle of the night to pray. It can build your faith more than a great sermon can. This is the stuff that encourages us and motivates us to do beautiful works of love. This is the stuff that urges us onwards. It's the word. It's the wisdom of God living through people, each other. And you know, you might come eager to receive this morning. Have you come ready to contribute to growth in someone else's life? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 11 and then 14 to 15. It says, because of this, encourage the hearts of your fellow believers and support one another, just as you have been doing. And then further on he says, we appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not in their place of battle. Be skilled at gently encouraging those who themselves feel inadequate. Be faithful to stand your ground. Help the weak to stand again. Be quick to demonstrate patience with everyone. Resist revenge and make sure that no one pays back evil in the place of evil, but always pursues doing what is beautiful to one another and to all the unbelievers. Encouraging hearts, helping weak to stand, supporting, encouraging those who feel inadequate, demonstrating patience, instructing. You know, gathering is about what we can, might be about a real conversation that you have or a real act of service, but it's also so much about an attitude, isn't it? You know, someone might come on a Sunday, what they really need is just some mercy from someone, just some grace. You know, I've stuffed up big time, just need to know that I'm still okay. And interestingly, in all these verses so far that we've looked at, none of them have been directed towards leadership or those in appointed positions. So it would seem that the encouraging, the motivating, urging, supporting, instructing, helping and doing is in fact all of our job. So let's have a quick look at just a verse on leadership. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 12. Says he's appointed some with grace to be apostles, some with grace to be prophets, some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. Stop there for a sec. Go down to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Not everyone is an apostle or a prophet or teacher. Not everyone performs miracles or has gifts of healing or speaks in tongues or interprets tongues. Okay, so we've got, this is the role of some, not of everyone. Ephesians 4, chapter 12, verse 12, the end of the other one. So some have been appointed, and their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do what? Their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. You know, the strength and enlargement and building of the church is not as a result of the ones who lead or organise the service, but it's actually as a result of all the believers contributing through their own works of ministry. In other words, you know, the pastors, the leaders of our ministry, they're not here to be our marketplace, but we can come and get from them whatever we need, to be our personal supply of growth and encouragement. Our job is to all bring our produce when we gather, to swap with one another, to share, invest, contribute into the lives of others. And that's why 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, you are the body of the Anointed One, and each one of you is a unique and vital part of it. Just in case you couldn't, you know, assume what he's saying from those verses, each one of you is a unique and vital part of it. You know, when we trivialise community, we underestimate our own need. We also deny others theirs. What do you bring in your basket today? If you've got a basket under your chair, I want you to come and bring it up the front.
Brent, if you want to come.
There's not enough room just on the ground around the front. Just feel free to put it wherever it's going to fit. Beautiful. Variety. And this wisdom, it's not for you to keep to yourself. I've just got lemons and apples. There's some figs there, I'd love some of those. There's some limes, some silver beet. I need what you contribute. You need what the person next to you can contribute. Ready? This question, is my contribution required? Has someone already got that covered? You know, this idea that if it's not unique, then it's not needed. I'm going to suggest that your contribution is always required. For the growth of the one who you give it to, and for yourself in giving. You know, somebody else said, I only have. What I have is of little importance. My challenge to you is that how do you ever really know there's truth in that? How do you ever really know that what you have is of little importance? How do you know that having the courage to actually encourage someone is not going to give them the boldness to make themselves more available? And in that, the difference you make is far larger than you can ever understand. We only have seeds. We'll plant them in someone else's life. And how do you know that the little seed you invest into someone else's life isn't going to one day grow into an oak tree? Another one. I don't have anything. Oh, well, I do have some avocados. I don't even recognize what I have growing in my life. You know, I don't think that who I am has power or value in being shared with someone else. And you know what? Maybe your contribution doesn't fit into a roster or a ministry team. But you know what, if it fits into Hebrews chapter 10 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if it's going to strengthen and enlarge and build up the life of a person, then you are strengthening and enlarging and building up the body of Christ. I was listening to John Finkelde on the radio, and he's the organiser of Grow a Healthy Church. And he was talking about the contribution of people within the church community. And then he says there are just three really simple things that you can do if you want to do something. And he says one of the first things, go to your leadership and ask how you can pray for them. You know, we often think that congregations or that pastors raise a church. But the truth is that churches also raise their pastor. From your basket, from what you bring, go and give back to the ones who are always investing into your life. What else you can do? Just make a decision that you're going to connect with the visitor that walks in your door every Sunday. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not on the worship team. I'm not speaking. I'm not on a roster. But I'm going to make sure that person knows my name when they come to my church for the first time. And you know, the last example he used, and it just made me smile because I feel like it's been a big focus of ours. He says, walk out to where your kids' program is and look around and ask yourself, how can I make this space great? And he talks about the absolute value and requirement and necessity of investing into our little people. We have so many little people in this church. You know, when we think about bringing our produce, don't forget about them. They need you guys. They need you to help raise them, sow into their lives. You know, imagine if Sue and Cam were to have 5 people come up and say, you know, how can I pray for the youth ministry? How can I pray for the vision of the church? What a blessing for people who give and give. I loved Pippa's response. I sent her a message and said, have you got anything? And she said, I'm sorry my garden is a bit bare of produce at the moment. I could bring some bay leaves though. And I just love that. I was just like, I love that attitude. My garden is bare, but I'll bring some bay leaves because that's what I got. What a beautiful, humble, generous attitude. You know, I think if we wait for our lives to be this flourishing garden, we'll never bring anything. We won't. So bring what you've got in the place you're in. If it's going to encourage, bring it. If it's going to motivate, bring it. If it's going to teach, bring it. If it's going to build faith, bring it. You know, we might go up and say, I was so blessed by you leading this morning. So nice to have you at church today. Come for lunch. You know, Sue, I've been thinking about the church and the vision, and I want to pray for you. I'm going to commit to praying for you. Renice, there's a camp on next week. I'd love to pay for you to go. You know, Delton, I was reading this amazing book, and I reckon it's going to bless you. I want to share it with you. Troy, I'm really sorry I offended you. Will you forgive me? Pippa, you've been having a really hard time. Let's sit and chat. I want to pray for you. You know, it doesn't have to look like much sometimes. If you take that, and you times it by 50 people. We've got a lot of produce going around. You know, our lives aren't static. Sometimes you might be bringing produce from a place of springtime, sometimes it's winter. Maybe you bring fruit from a season of great growth. Maybe you're just bringing faith that's being refined by adversity. You know, people need your trial, your struggle, your wrestle, as much as they need your win, your victory, your triumph. Be people that share your story, and be people that are interested in listening to the stories of other people. We are the body, and each is a unique and vital part of it. So let's, like Hebrews 10 says, let's get creative about ways to encourage and motivate each other. Let's take this seriously. You know, I haven't found roster in the Bible once, but encouragement is there time and time again. It is powerful. When you get up in the morning and get ready to come to church, fill your basket. Bring it along. Put it under your chair. Make sure that you empty it to people who need it that morning. Let's refuse to have this marketplace mentality. Let's build a church that displays God's wisdom. And you know, let's be a family so brimming with produce that when someone comes who is truly hopeless and they have nothing in their basket, look what we can give to them. When someone comes who is broken, who's just at the end, let's be a place that is so prepared to give into the lives of these people who need it the most. Father, this morning, we just thank you that you grow in abundance in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your gift of community. We just thank you that your design is that we don't do this life alone, but that we gather and share that which you've given us. Father, I thank you that even in our place where we feel like it's winter, that can actually encourage somebody's life. Father, I pray that in humility we would be prepared to offer ourselves to one another, to build each other up, to motivate each other, that we would not just come to receive, but that we would come with an intention to give. That in doing that, we would bring glory to you. That we would build this body of Christ, that we would be making Jesus known in our community. Father, challenge us this morning. Encourage us. Help us to realize all that we have in you. In Jesus' mighty name.